Good morning and welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am Butcher Amateur Catechist Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Today is Tuesday, February the 15th, 2022. Collect for the day for the Tuesday after the 6th Sunday of Epiphany or Septuagesima. A collect of the day is for Thomas Bray, priest and missionary, founder of SPG and SPCK. Almighty and everlasting God, you kindled the flame of your love in the heart of your servant, Thomas Bray, to manifest your compassion and mercy to the poor and the persecuted. Grant to us, your humble servants, a like faith and power of love, that we who give thanks for his righteous zeal may profit by his example. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Got my coffee here. It's the blonde roast from Starbucks. We're back to the blonde roast. No cream still. Still doing straight up. So we are on question 145 of the Catechism. Question 145. What is the work of deacons? So we're in the middle of page 61, right before we start talking about marriage. That'll be a light topic. So what is the work of deacons? Answer, serving Christ under their bishops, deacons care for those in need, assist in public worship, and instruct both young and old in the catechism. What is the work of deacons? Serving Christ under their bishops, so in relationship to subject to authority, deacons care for those in need, so caring for people's immediate needs, assist in public worship, and instruct both young and old in the catechism, so spiritual instruction. So let's read scriptural references. Deuteronomy 15, 7 to 11. If among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Take care lest there be an unworthy thought in your heart, and you say, the seventh year, the year of release is near, and your eye look grudgingly on your poor brother, and you give him nothing. And he cry to the Lord against you, and you be guilty of sin. You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and all that you undertake. For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, and to the poor in your land. Next, Psalm 119, 1-8. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart. When I learn your righteous rules, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Gospel of our Lord according to St. Luke, chapter 12, verses 35 to 40. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Next, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. The last scriptural reference is from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 to 13. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, what is the work of deacons? Serving Christ under their bishops. Deacons care for those in need, assist in public worship, and instruct young and old in the catechism. So, kind of like I pointed out already at the beginning, it's kind of straightforward. Serving under their bishops, deacons, Chrysostom. Likewise, deacons, that is, they should have the same qualities as bishops. What are these same? To be blameless, sober, hospitable, patient, not brawlers, not covetous. And then he means this when he says likewise is evident from what he says in addition, grave, not double-tongued, that is not hollow or deceitful. For nothing so debases a man as deceit, nothing is so pernicious in the church as insincerity. Not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Thus he explains what he means by blameless, and here he requires, though in other words, that he be not a novice, where he says, let these also first be proved, where the conjunction also is added as connecting this with what has been said before of bishops, for nothing intervenes between. And there is the same reason for not a novice in that case. For would it not be absurd that when a newly purchased slave is not entrusted with anything in a house till he has by a long trial given proofs of his character, yet that one should enter into the church of God from a state of heathenism and at once be placed in a state of preeminence? Here ends the reading. I suppose I'm frustrated by the lack of deacons. I say this because it seems like we ordain them as deacons so that they can become priests. not stick around as deacons. This may not be the case everywhere, but I see that quite distinctly within my own diocese. I suppose something that's been I've been ruminating on for a while. In terms of hierarchy, it just seems like there should be lots of deacons, less priests, and of course there's only one bishop per diocese. So it should be a breeding ground. Now, you know, or not breeding ground. Maybe breeding ground's the right, but I mean, you want to be cultivating it. There we go. Maybe that's the better word, cultivating. I suppose we set the bar pretty high just to make it into holy orders, and people want to make it to priest because that seems like the better, you know, you're more likely to be preaching as a priest rather than as the deacon. I don't know, maybe the qualifications educationally for deacons should be lessened, especially if you want to have men who aren't necessarily have a master's degree, but have, as scriptural puts it, you know, a sort of a life of learning. What's better? Would that not be better than some 25-year-old but behind the ears, but because he has a college and a master's degree, he's the deacon, as opposed to the 75-year-old man who, by quiet patience, has raised a family, has taught them well, is well-versed in his scripture. Why can't we make those men deacons? I don't know, just a thought. I suppose I don't really have a lot to say on this, mostly because I think it's an underutilized part of holy orders that we have so few deacons, generally speaking. They so quite often go straight to priest. You know, 1 year transitional diaconate, as they call it. Now, there's the was it the Seabury Society, the Society of Seabury, I can't remember, who is trying to increase the number of deacons within the Anglican Church, and I think that's a worthy cause. I wish I knew who was actually in charge of it. I'd kind of like to connect with them more, because it's, yes, preachers came first, as I think we see in Acts, but there's a necessity for deacons. It is clearly evident in the teaching of caring for the church, and there's a very practical side of the diaconate in terms of caring for the physical needs of the flock, the emotional, spiritual needs of the flock, in a very close, tangible, personal way. More likely to be one-on-one. Well, I guess it's going to be a really short podcast today. I want to thank you for listening. Feedback, amateuranglican@gmail.com, amateuranglican@gmail.com. If you're on iTunes, would appreciate a rate and a review especially. There seems to be a lot of downloads of the audio file, but I'm not sure where they're coming from. So if you're a listener, just maybe shoot me a quick email just to say where you're listening from. That would be, I don't have any really good metrics on where this is going. I didn't set it up that way when I first started the podcast. And so I don't really have a good idea where things are going. But I have, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 downloads of certain podcasts, so I'm curious as to where this is going. So may the Lord bless you wherever you are, and thank you for listening. I'm going to close it out with prayer. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given to us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.